Good evening. Not as much of a good morning, Spokane Baptist, but a good evening, Spokane Baptist. I don't know. Not the same effect coming from an English person, I guess. It's fine. I didn't know I was preaching this morning, today. I got a text from Josh this morning, Pastor Josh, and he said, "Do you know you're preaching?" I said, "Oh, I am? I thought it was you." "No, I thought it was you." And there was this kind of finger-pointing thing going on. I went, "Well, let's not fight over it. Let's, you know." So I'm up today, and I was happy because it meant that I was able to kind of touch on a message that I've been going through and my family's been going through for the last month or so. And it's, following God's plans, not your own. And that's kind of funny because Christians were meant to be following God's plans, but we have a tendency as humans to think, "Hey, I know what I'm doing here. I'm going to do what I want to do instead sometimes." And it doesn't always end up that way, a good way. So, but there's a saying, "My way or the highway." I'm hoping everyone's heard that before. I've heard this said a couple times in my life by bosses, by relatives, by teachers. "Well, Jamie, if you're not going to listen to this lesson, then it's my way or out you go." And you go, "Oh, wow, okay. Guess I'm leaving." I don't know. But it's, you know, that's been thrown around quite a lot. Agree that my way is better than yours and get behind me, or get out of the way. My way is better than yours. Now, this can be true. Humans to other humans, this can be true. If I'm less experienced, it is very much your way, because my way is going to get us killed. So, but we used to go hiking in the Brecon Beacons, which is down in Wales. It's their mountain range. It's really beautiful. And my stepdad used to do it like every year, lots and lots of times throughout the whole year. And he would take us, me and my three brothers, and we'd go camping. And then he would say, "Okay, this is the trail we're going to take." "Well, why? That way looks so much better." And he's like, "Well, that way goes around there. And then it's a steep, you know." And if we had went our way, it would have been really dangerous. But instead we go his way because he's more experienced with that. In some situations, that this saying works, right? Doesn't mean you always stick to it, but still. There's lots of these examples that we can take in our lives. You know, if you're a person struggling with finances, turning to a financial advisor, they will give you a way to get out of that situation. You may not take that way. You may stick to yours, but there is a way you can do this. So, same as Christians, we have an option here where we can talk to God and find out his plans and even just a glimpse of them. Because sometimes God doesn't let us see the big picture. But even just those little glimpses, and you go, "Wow, okay, I see why I'm following your way and not my way now," right? So, first thing I kind of thought about was there is nothing more thorough, nothing more thought through, nothing more precise, nothing more majestic than God's plan in our lives, being that we're able to be part of that. That God said, "I'm going to allow you to be part of my plan. You humans who do so many things wrong, I'm going to invite you to be part of my plan." It's wow. And then you think about the preciseness of everything that he does, how delicate things are and how well-placed things are. And you go, only God could do that. And you look at the life of Jesus and you think of that whole plan. And how it all went, step by step by step. It was thought through. It was precise. But it was God's plan. Isaiah 55, 8-9 is the key text that I'm going off of this evening. So I'm just going to read it here. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I'm so thankful for that. Lord Jesus, I just pray for this evening. I pray that we are able to listen to your truth, that my words get out the way, that your truth remains, Lord Jesus. Help us to look at your plans and not our own. Help us to look to you and nothing else, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. So, first thing I learned when I started to try to follow God's plans instead of mine was when you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, you then have to trust that the Holy Spirit will guide you, right? When you ask God about which direction to go, you got to trust that God's going to give you the right direction because, you know, again, my humanness comes in and I go, but this is a better way to do it. A great example, even this isn't even in my notes, but I was picking up Brother Deacon Bill from his house, and as we're driving towards the church, Google Maps says, ding, there's been an accident on I-90. Do not take I-90, otherwise you'll be 45 minutes late to your meeting. And they're like, well, thank you, Google Maps, because that was the way I was going to go, because that's the easiest way to do it. So instead, we did the back roads and we got to the church. But there's God's way, or there's the way that I think is going to be the best way. And if we did that, me and Bill, we would have got to know each other really well. You know, we'd had a lot of good conversation, but we would not have got to church on time. So, an example there of, am I going to trust what I know, or am I going to trust what God knows in this situation? But trust is a difficult thing as well. I remember when I was younger and I was learning how to swim. We're at the public swimming pool, and I'm on the edge, and I'm going, oh, I don't want to do it. And the relative's in the pool, and they're going, I will catch you, Jamie. Just jump in. I'll catch you. It will be fine. I'll go, oh, I don't want to do it. And then eventually I'll jump in, and of course they wouldn't catch me because they wanted me to go underwater and get over my fear. Trust issues. No, but it's this idea of trust, right? Are you going to let me down? God, you might have the most incredible plan for me, but I don't know, I've got problems here. I've got trust issues. I don't know. I'm a weak human. And maybe you're too trusting, or maybe you're not trusting enough. I waver sometimes. I don't stick right in the middle, but it's interesting how the way we were brought up, the way that we have relationships with our families, the way that we have friendships and everything like that, how actually we reflect that to God, even when we know how incredible God is. We still put him in those categories. There's a saying in England, I can trust him as far as I can throw him. Thankfully, I've always been this size. But it's one of those things like, I can still not throw people very far, so I didn't trust people very well, right? You can't trust people as much as you think. That's kind of the meaning of that. Do you guys say that here? You say that here? Good. That's good. There you go. I don't have to explain that more than skip the notes. That's great. The whole paragraph of explanation, but it's fine. But trust is a big issue in the world, right? Even with young people, even with old people, even with relatives, friends for life, and suddenly something pops up and relationship's gone. I don't know how many arguments falling out between young people I've seen and witnessed and tried to work through, and it's all stemmed down from that person told that person my secret that I trusted them with, and you go, how dare you? You know, but it's trusting that person was something precious to you. How can we trust when there's so much brokenness and lies and deceit in the world? And then that seeps into our relationship with God. Well, God, the world's broken. How can I truly trust you? Because everything I see is horrible out there. Well, it's because God is great. And God is mighty. And God loves. And he knows exactly what's good for us. And that's all about the plan. This is what I'm trying to say here. Following God's plan, we just got to trust that it's going to be the best thing for us. Right, this part I need to not get emotional about. But that is, this right here is the moment I truly realized that I could not trust anyone else in my life apart from Christ. This moment right here when I had to say goodbye to my family, that was 4 years ago in April, and I was left in the airport and I was broken. And I was literally on my knees and I was crying my eyes out as I said goodbye to my family, not knowing if I'd get a green card, not knowing if I would see them again for a little while. it was pretty embarrassing, so it's fine. But it's that thing of, I knew there was nothing else I could do at that point. As soon as they went through those barriers, as soon as they boarded that plane, as soon as they flew off, I wasn't in control. I knew that I needed to wholeheartedly, undeniably trust in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to take care of them, to take care of me. Because what a time when Satan could have stepped in and just started attacking and tearing things apart. But Christ kept us together. I didn't like the feeling. It was uncomfortable. As I said, it was embarrassing. I cried so much in those two months, it was ridiculous. I'm a man, I shouldn't be crying. Ah, but, you know, it's something when you feel disconnected from the people you love and you can't have any real impact on how their day goes. I can't hold my kids. I can't comfort my wife. I can't teach my boy to ride a bike. I can't be there when they go through these things because I was in a completely different country. So I don't like this picture. It makes me all types of emotional and all types of angry and upset and But if I didn't have this picture, I wouldn't be able to remember the day that actually I truly said to Jesus, I trust you because I have to. Because I have no other choice now. Because they are physically out of my area. I can't provide for them whilst they're across the seas. I can't look after them. Can't protect them. Jesus, I need you to instead. It was the most alone that I've ever felt. It was the most out of control that I've ever felt. And until that moment of saying that to Jesus, it was like I was in the middle of the ocean on my own. And then God just picked me up and just said, it's okay. And that's when I felt life again. I felt like God's plan was better than mine. Because my plan was to stay on that airport floor crying for a long time. So let's get rid of that picture. There we go. John 16:30 says, now are we that thou sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest forth from God. I have calm in my life when I am close to God. When I'm close to God, I have peace. Right? And that doesn't mean outside of, you know, in my actual active life, there's not craziness going on. Because right now, there's tons of crazy going on in my life. But I have calm and I have peace and I have moments where I can just breathe because God's given me that. Because I've trusted in him to not just allow this crazy to take over my life, but to give opportunities of rest and calm. I find calm and peace through Jesus Christ. And why can I be confident in this? Because God knows everything, right? He knows the storms that we're going through. He knows the things that's going on in our lives right now, the hardships in our hearts, the craziness in friends and relations around us. He knows everything. But more incredibly, he knows you and me, head to toe, everything about me, everything about you. And I'm thankful for that because then he knows my limits. He knows my strengths. He knows my weaknesses. He knows everything. And that he is the bringer of peace and calm, even in the stormiest of times. I think that's the key thing here. It's not just about the life events that happen, the weddings, the funerals, the marriage, you know, whatever's going on. It's the stuff that goes underneath there, the heart things that's going on. And God's saying, I can give you calm and I can give you peace. Just trust in me. Trust in my plans, not your own. So the first thing I said was trusting in that the Holy Spirit will actually guide you, or that God will guide you. The second thing I learned about this was don't focus on the complications. Focus on the simplicity of just following God. And that can be tough. Because I remember when I became a Christian and I sat down in my first discipleship course and my pastor was in front of me and he said, this is how you follow Jesus. And I'm like, that's a lot. How do I do that? That's a lot of stuff I have to do there. And then he read this. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And he read that, and I just said, oh, well, that's a lot more simple than just all those other things you just said. Like, I didn't understand baptism when I first became a Christian. I didn't understand, you know, the bread and the wine, the communion. I didn't understand you know, all these different long Christian words that he was throwing out at me. But what he did say was, rejoice. Pray. But not just a one-time thing. It says evermore. It says without ceasing. Give thanks in everything. It's hard, but it's simple. Right? Pray, rejoice, give thanks. And show these things. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing. The third thing I learned about this was God's plan is not our plan, so it may not make sense, right? Doesn't really make sense. I still can't work it out. I can't put my finger on where we are on this map. But I was 15 when I gave my life to Christ. My plan was to be whatever I could be to live, right? I grew up in Andover in England, a small little town. It had quite a high crime, a criminal record for a lot of people there. When I left, it was like the highest teen female pregnancies in the area in Hampshire, and then the highest male teen imprisonment in the area as well. So not a favorable place to live. So it was to have my plan in that situation was just to survive. Get a job, pay my way, get out of here. Woohoo! Celebrate. So I dreamt of being a teacher, and then I realized I was really bad at school, right? And then I dreamt of being a bus driver, so I tried to learn stick, and I couldn't do it. And I dreamt of being in construction, and again, just wasn't my thing. God's plan was better the whole time. When I had my things that I was going to, this is what I'm going to be. I'm going to be the best train driver ever. I'm going to do whatever it is. No, God's plan was better. My plan was just pure survival. Just survive. Just keep going and survive. Whereas God's plan was to redeem, to give me a future and a hope in him. And that's the difference here. My plan had a finish line that was very evident, because I can only work for so long. And maybe I got fired, or maybe I did something wrong, or maybe whatever. But God's plan is hope and a future. There's a never-ending horizon going on here as much as I walk towards it. God's plan has a greater purpose than what I could ever even think of. Isaiah 26:3 says, I should be clicking, sorry. Forgetting to click. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Do you guys live in perfect peace? How's your life? Is it so peaceful it's ridiculous? Or is it pretty stormy at times? It says in Isaiah that if we keep our mind on Christ and we trust in him completely, that we will have peace. But not just peace and quiet, like my kids are going to leave me alone for like a couple of hours so I can just kind of read and be chilled, you know, or maybe peace and quiet where I can wander off and go and sit on top of a hillside and do whatever. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. I will be honest with you and say I do not know what that means. I don't know what perfect peace is. Right? Because my understanding of peace is no noise or no activity. Whereas I feel like Jesus' understanding of peace is like a whole life thing, a whole heart thing instead of a moment. I don't know. Maybe you know. Maybe you can tell me. But I know where it comes from. I mean, I don't know what it means, but I know where it comes from, and that's from God. Perfect peace from God. I had a favorite verse when I got baptized. I found it and I read it and I was like, oh, wow, this is incredible. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you your heart's desires. Woohoo! I'm going to get that sports car, baby. Jesus, I'm delighting in you. I want that house. Woo! Where's the house? Come on, I'm delighting in you right now. Come on. So, right? And this is baby Christian Jamie thinking, wow, all I need to do is pretend to be delighted, and God will give me my heart's desires. Wow. Just need to be happy in God and I get what I want. Whew, this can be easy. My plans are working out, right? But as I've grown older, I understand this verse a lot differently now. See, my desires of my heart were always selfish. Were always about me bettering myself. Survival? Well, survival was about me surviving. It wasn't about others surviving. It was about Jamie surviving. Just got to get Jamie from today to tomorrow and then we'll be fine, right? And then we go again, and then we go again. But it was all about me. It was all about me just trying to hang in there. It's not that when I delight myself in the Lord, I get that sports car or anything like that. You see, the more I delight in the Lord, the more my desires become like his desires. And my desires change into what he wants me to be doing. Desires to see people come to know him. Desires to see orphans and widows cared for and loved. Desires to see the world changed for better through him. And that's the change here. That's my plan is selfishness. Inwards, Jamie, being better, doing better, having better things. God's plan here is, let me get inside that heart and change those desires to be more outward, to look out, to be world-changing, to be life-changing, to be loving and giving it to other people. And God's plan is something bigger and better than I could ever truly understand. When I delight in him, he allows me in on his desires, in his plans to see people saved. He allows me to be a part of what he wants to happen here. Wow. What a privilege. And then he changes my heart to not be this selfish, inward-looking heart, but an outward-loving one. I'm repeating myself a couple of times because this is how many times I've had to kind of say this to myself. You have been changed. Because the closer you get to God, the more he changes you. You just have to. There's no choice here. It changes from my own heart to be a heart more like Christ's. So following God's plans aren't just about taking steps, aren't just about walking the right way or anything like that. It's about changes as well. There will be a changing. There will be a morphing of your heart to look from this black, icky, sinful thing to a pure, clean, wow, in Jesus. That's a scientific terminology right there. Pure, clean, wow thing. So it's good. But there will be adjustments. There will be changes. And as I said before, it may not make sense. But just like us following my stepdad up those mountains, we didn't know the end result. We don't know which way we're going to end up going. We don't even know what the view looks like right at the end. But God knows. And that's why this is important. Because he's going to take you to the end there and see that incredible view on top of the mountain. And if we had took our plan, we may never have even made it. If we had took our route, we could have got lost. Whatever. But God's saying, stick to this one. Look at that view. Take it in. It's glorious. So God's plan is the only worthy plan. And that's very firm, because again, Jamie's plans are terrible. So, but God's plan can take the least likely and create something absolutely incredible, right? God's plan can and will change the whole world. It already has. Jesus dying on the cross. That changed the world right there. Now we have the opportunity to continue with that. God's incredible rescue plan is the only plan that can be truly trusted. that we can truly rely on and the only plan that will not fail. You will be saved. The thing about us humans, and especially myself, when I say that, I speak about myself because I know my state. And this personal reflection on this is whenever I get my grubby, sinful hands on a part of God's plans, I kind of taint it a little bit, right? Because God's saying, this way for glory. And I go, yeah, but what if we go like this way instead? And he's like, no, just this way. And I'm, yeah, but... And it's just that bit of humanness inside of us to want to be in control. And to know that actually we could maybe do something a little bit better here. No. I have had to hammer this into my head so many times that I have no other option but to trust in Christ. I would go back to that picture again, but it'll make me cry, so I'm not going to. But it's the point of these reminders where you have nothing else to rely on but God to get you through, to guide you. And once you realize that, wow, what a path. Wow, what incredible plans. And I find this really funny, that with all my flaws and my imperfections, God still says, Jamie, I want to use you for this. And I say it again, what a privilege. What an incredible opportunity. Wow, thank you. And I love the account of Jesus when he walks up to the disciples and they're fishing and they're fixing all their nets and they're counting up all the fish. And he looks at them, and this is my version of it, by the way, and he goes, huh, these guys have all been overlooked. No one really cares about them. They're just fishermen. The teachers of the faith don't really want them to follow them because maybe they're not the brightest. They haven't been very well educated. They're just going to do this job until they die. But once Jesus had his eyes on them, he turned them from fishermen to fishers of men, right? Their plan was just to go with the flow. We'll just be fishing. We're going to keep fishing until we drop. Until something better comes along, maybe. I don't know. Whatever that looks like. But God's plan was to say, I'm going to use these guys. These people that were overlooked. These people that were not very educated. These people that looked past by all the teachers. And I'm going to use them to reach people all over the world. And start something huge. Something incredible. God's plan changed their identity from just fishermen to something else. So how do you feel? How do you feel? Are you a fisherman or are you a fisher of men? Do you feel included by God in his plans? Are you feeling chosen by him? Because you've been chosen by him. He's looked at you and said, David, brother David, I want you part of my plans. Pastor Farouk, I want you part of my plans. Pastor Jamie, I want you part of your plans. And you go, whoa, what a privilege. Is your identity as a fisherman or a fisher of men? Because I know what I want to be. I know where I should be in this. And that is every single day I wake up and I go, whoa, fisher of men, let's do this. But so often I wake up and I go, I'm just a terrible fisherman. I haven't caught anything in a couple of days. And I beat myself up and I allow my plans to creep back in again, to put me back. And I know that I fall short and I very, very easily accept that fishing rod back into my hands way too easily. God's plans don't mean to make sense to us. God's plan is something that we can't comprehend, because if we could comprehend it, then we would be limiting what God could do. Because God is so much bigger. Right? I thought about this and thought about it and I thought, these boxes that you can put things in. And you go, am I going to stuff God in this box because this is what I can understand? Or is God, I created that box. I created you. And you're stuffing me into the created box that I, this doesn't make any sense. But actually, we should be trying to just allow God to give us glimpses that we can kind of understand and just walk in faith and trusting him. This is I'm coming into a close here, but this made me laugh because again, God's plans compared to our plans. I've already told you what I wanted to be when I grew up. Pastor Farouk, I don't know what you wanted to be, but we're not from around here, right? Okay, I'm English. Pastor Farouk and his family are from Pakistan. And I don't understand. And I'm looking at you, Pastor Farouk, because I don't know if you do either. I don't know. Maybe we need to talk. But I don't understand how we both were led to Spokane Baptist Church in Otis Orchards. Like, I did some rough measuring, Google Maps, thank you. And obviously, I don't know whereabouts in Pakistan you're from. So I just put Pakistan to America, go. And it said 7,671 miles, just random two places. England to America, again, didn't type in any location, go, roughly 5,000 miles. God's plan doesn't need to make sense to us because it's his plan and not ours. The fact that we're here kind of shows that, right? It doesn't make sense for us to land in this church, in Otis Orchards, because we could have done anything else but God, right? God led somewhere else. It was God's plan to bring us here to this church, to this area of America. And I'm just so thankful for that. That I could not have coordinated this. That's the best thing about this, right? You look at my bank account, couldn't have coordinated it. Look at my, you know, my track records for traveling, definitely not. You know, I go different directions. I don't go to America, I go to Europe and Africa. I'm just so thankful that I cannot take any credit for this because it's his plan and not mine. And I think that's the key thing here. It is only through God that these plans come to fruition, right? He uses us to do certain things, but through him is where it comes to fruit. And it brings life. God's plan gave David the strength to defeat Goliath. God's plan brought the Israelites out of Egypt and into the promised land. God's plan changed the desires of sinners' hearts to be free through Christ's sacrifice. It's all God's plans. God's plans are good. Last question for you, and then I'll let one of the pastors close here. Where in your life are you trying to dictate what is happening? Where it should be your plan, where you're thinking, this is my plan. And how would it change if you gave it to God instead? And you invited him to do his plan in there instead. How would it change?